I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Chicago. 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here, and Steve Cochran Show. Dave Bennett, Mary Sandberg, Mary Vanderbilt, Steve Grzanishin, of course, Steve Cochran here this morning, 6 to 10. So excited to be with you on this Friday. Maybe you're getting out of town for your last final hurrah. Maybe it's the final Friday or the final day of your first week of school. Maybe you're like me. I remember when I was a kid, I would turn on the radio, 720, other places, and listen to it when I was getting ready for school. It was on in the background, mostly during the winter, so to see if the snow, so we didn't have to go to school. But the point being that it was a part of the routine. I don't know if that's the case too much for teenagers.
We always had a radio on. I know Catherine listens to like a Spotify playlist,
right?
Really loud, and that usually has like Drake, Dua Lipa, or whatever.
Yeah, Dua Lipa.
Who's that other guy? You're mad that you like
Post Malone.
Post Malone.
She's a Post Maloner.
She is. Yeah.
She doesn't have the earbuds in. She just. Cranks it up.
Yep, she cranks it up so the whole house hears it. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
I can't do that in my house. I my dad was that way. He would do that, and I don't want to name other radio stations, but on Saturday morning, there's a certain flashback show that's on a different radio station. And he would. That's how we all woke up. He would jack that up on the stereo with the receiver, you know, everything. You know, and the speakers over by the TV.
Dave's always worked morning radio, so he never could jack up radio.
When I was
ready.
A kid, there was always a radio on in the kitchen when I would come down in the morning. But I think part of it is, I know in our house, there's a TV everywhere you go. So there's a TV in the kitchen.
Yeah, right.
And so chances
TV's
are
replaced it, right.
The TVs, in some instances, would be on. I'm just guessing. I'm not there.
Well, hopefully you're listening right now if you're getting ready for your first Friday of the school year. If not, if you're just at home, getting home from work or on your way to work, we got you here on this Friday on the Steve Cochran Show. Let's start it off with the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Top six at six. We'll start with the local stuff. It took more than 5 years for the Hydea Pendleton murder case to reach trial. It took nearly 2 weeks for attorneys to select jurors, present evidence, and make arguments. And then it took about 3 hours Thursday afternoon for jurors to return a verdict on Hydea's suspected gunman guilty. The driver was yesterday. He was found guilty. And the gunman found guilty today or yesterday. So that was quick. the bulk of that story is that trial was not one that was very controversial. They got to it. And the
we still don't know why it took so long to get to court, though, right?
Right. They say it's just a backup in the system. I don't buy that argument, but they say in that specific court, there is a huge backlog of cases.
5 years.
5 years.
So not exactly the speedy trial you were promised. President Trump blamed the Justice Department for investigations surrounding him. He lashed out at Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions said, "While I'm Attorney General, the actions of the Justice Department will not be improperly influenced by political considerations." That, by the way, has been termed by media and stories everywhere as a huge slapback.
Slapback.
President Trump. Punch him right in the face.
Slapback is what they put. That's the name of the new CNN show.
Yes.
Slapback.
There's an old Dominion song that's a snapback.
Oh, snapback. Yeah, of course.
I just love that this is a vicious political quote. Mm. Department of Justice will not be improperly influenced by political considerations. Jerk face. Next, Giuliani said yesterday, that's Mayor Giuliani, that he and Mr. Trump's other lawyers had advised the president against pardoning former aides, at least until the special counsel's investigation is over. This is the cartoon we're living in. Listen, Mr. Trump, don't pardon anyone until the investigation's
over. Why not?
Over.
I'm president. I can do whatever I want.
But if you could just hold on.
No, never. I have to pardon.
I know. Pardoning's
my friends.
Fun. Pardoning's fun. Here's the pardoning home game. Just pardon. pretend pardon for a while.
What if the imaginary pardon?
Blue. You got another quack back for me? There's another quack back. Carson's closing for good August 31st. Oh. Each store's last day depends on how quickly remaining items sell, and some stores have already sold out. Are they doing that thing where they sell the light fixtures?
Yes. I was in a Carson's recently, and because they had the sign up, the building is for sale. And so my wife and
everything
I,
must go, including where you're
everything,
standing?
The light fixtures, the
thermostat,
tables, the credenzas, they put the merchandise on, and everything had been pretty well picked through.
Oh, I want a mannequin. Do they have any of those?
Yeah, they were selling mannequins.
Slow weekend at the house? What's happening?
No, I need one for sewing. I need, you know, a form figure, they call them.
Of course you do.
They had all shapes and sizes, Mary.
Oh, man, I got to get over
it. Is it bad that when I first saw this story, I was like, oh, I love those ribs.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think you're on the wrong track there. Those Carsons are fine. They're just fine. Next. The reason Hawaii never gets threatened by a hurricane is because the Pacific Ocean is really big. And Hawaii is really not. And over the course of recorded weather history, there has been almost no occasions where a hurricane has hit Hawaii. Now, there was one in 1990 or 91 that did a lot of damage, and nothing even close since then. The storm is known as Hurricane Lane. It's now a Category 3 and could just skirt the islands. But officials are warning still of life-threatening impacts, most of those on the Big Island and most of that from flooding. I got a niece who is spending the summer in Hawaii. I know, tough break. And working there. And it's her first time to Hawaii.
She was here.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
She was in the studio with us one morning.
And she's working there in I don't know, some sort of program where she works for free, but she gets to live in Hawaii for 2 months. But had never been to Hawaii, and she's there during the hurricane. So, but she's on Oahu.
Producer Bennett, his brother is in Hawaii as well. So,
oh yeah.
So we have people to check in with if needed.
Yes, we do. Okay.
And finally, this at 87, an Naperville man to compete in the 2018 Chicago Triathlon being held this Sunday. He's actually age 87. He will turn 88 in October. His name's Bob Scott. He's the oldest competitor in the race, where athletes have to swim a mile, bicycle up and down Lakeshore Drive 24.8 miles, and run 6.2 miles.
This story made me think of Dave.
Because, on the mud thing today?
Because he's doing Tough Mudder this weekend.
Okay, but
Dave, you're going to do it?
But I'm not 87, though.
No, but you're going to be in the older group.
Probably. Good yes, I am, Mary.
Well, I tried to talk Dave out of it, but he didn't listen to me.
If
don't
you
fall
break
in the water,
down,
Dave.
Yeah, you did it, right?
I did it.
And you hated it?
I didn't do this particular one. I did a different one. I kept falling in the gross water, and you go under the water because I was trying to do the rings.
Did
and
you
I couldn't
swallow
do
muddy water?
Yeah, and I was I thought I was diseased afterwards. I was very nervous.
So have fun, Dave.
Thanks,
have a
Mara.
Good time.
Thanks for your support.
You'll be fine, Dave. You won't
it's
fall.
Great to have coworkers who have your back.
Well, doesn't everybody fall? That's the idea.
Yeah, that's sort of the idea.
And
you're
going to
get
muddy. Climb this wall, and I kept falling down the wall.
Dave has extremely his upper body strength is incredible because I've seen him do chin ups.
Yeah, very strong.
How many chin ups can you do?
He and our boss Todd did like 35 each without even breaking a sweat.
Wow.
Well, both of you weigh like 47 pounds. I mean, honestly, how tough is it?
Not that tough.
It's hard.
By the way, the most amazing part of this story is not that Dave's in the muddy water. The most amazing part of the story is that an 87-year-old man
that is
going to swim a mile, bike 25, and run 6.2. God bless him. Bob Scott.
Great.
That's tremendous. At 87, you've earned a right to sit and not do that. That's really the point. The point is, you don't have to do that. He's choosing to do that.
It's impressive because of the choice.
Top six is in the books. Thank you for your quackery.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Hey, Steve, if you're driving in from the west, one of the most spectacular sunrises I've seen in a long time. The city looks like an oil painting.
It is beautiful, absolutely beautiful, with gold and pink highlights.
Right, reminds me of my hair.
Yeah.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou, I have a recommendation. Do not take a Wednesday and Thursday off and come back on Friday.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake on your part.
Yeah, but the main thing is because it feels like Wednesday, you know? I mean, I know it's Friday, but the fact that you're on today on a Wednesday is very weird to me.
Right. I think unless it's an absolute must. It's like, well, I'm just going to take Friday off too.
Yeah. You know what? Don't be harsh on our Friday feeling here, Steve, because you think it's Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're going to have to work through the weekend.
No, thank you.
Lou, you guys take tomorrow off. I'll work tomorrow.
Lou, if you were here, you could see Steve's having a chair issue or something. He is sitting so low in the studio. It's like he's like Indian style on the ground for some reason.
I'm doing sort of a meditative thing. Let me go to Mark. Good morning, Mark. How are you? God, I just disconnected.
Great, how are you?
Fantastic. Call Lou back.
Oh. No, you got him.
He disconnected Lou.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, how are you, buddy? What's going on?
Oh, you know, just trying to figure out if my furnace is installed properly.
Oh, no. The old furnace installation. You know what we're talking about. It sounds like we're stalling until we get Lou back, because that's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay.
I have two furnaces in my townhome, one in the bottom, one in the top, and both of them have crapped out in the last year.
So you can answer this question?
Answer this question or not, because it's my big nightmare. Whenever there's a clunk or anything, I know what you're talking about, Mark, because every time I'm like, I hope that was installed
wrong. What makes you think it's installed wrong?
Well, because, have you heard Lou talking about high-efficiency furnaces where...
Boy, have I.
Where there's it's connected to the outside air with two PVC pipes rather than a traditional chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And both pipes converge into a single Y pipe, and I just wonder if that's normal.
Is that normal, Lou?
No. I mean, if it's a high-efficiency furnace, the two, you typically have an intake and a combustion pipe, and so they should not combine. There was a fitting years ago that was used to kind of do the best of both worlds, but that's not used anymore. And so they should be two separate pipes.
Okay. Yeah, they used a Y pipe that goes to a single roof penetration. So
a Y pipe that goes to a single,
This is like dirty talk for handymen. What you two are doing,
right? Right, but if it in fact is a high efficiency furnace, there should be two pipes, an intake and an exhaust.
Yeah.
So it sounds like our friend Mark has problems.
Yes.
So what does he do? Does he have to move?
Where does Mark live? Where do you live, Mark?
Cary.
Okay. The fine sponsor of our first call is American Weathermakers, and so I'd give him a call, have him come out and take a look at it and find out what's going on.
All right, thanks.
All right, hold on, because you've won for that furnace that isn't working, an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. That'll be good, don't you think, Lou?
Did you lose Lou again?
I think Lou's on hold, and you put Mark. You got it. Steve's back, ladies and gentlemen. Steve's back.
Hey, Steve.
You know, there's portions on this show where it's really tough just not to start cursing. An Amplair Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. From American Weathermakers, the 60-minute man. Call 855-955-HVAC. All right. and you're good, Lou?
I'm great. I'm doing great.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
There's a big box store, not an Ace Hardware. And,
got it.
And this big box store is advertising carpeting within 48 hours.
Okay.
So you go in and you ask about the carpeting within 48 hours, and they say, well, we have to come out and measure. And when they come out and measure, then they have to determine if the carpeting you want is in stock.
Right.
And if it's in stock, then from the point that it arrives at the store, whether it's in the back room or they have to order it, that's when the 48-hour clock starts.
It's called marketing.
It's a scam.
Well, I mean, everybody does it. You know, you look at the...
Okay, Donald Trump?
No. No, I'm not doing that. But I will tell you this, is that, you know, the all these big boxes offer all these great, you know, products and services and whatever, and you can get a really good deal. And sometimes some of these things are, like, amazing when they give you these percentages back, and, you know, you're like, getting stuff for free.
But in the end, the better selection of products that you're going to use in your home are going to come from the smaller independent places. So the small local carpet company has the best selection, and they tend to have the better installers. And like when it comes to carpeting, that's the way to go. Will you pay a dollar more a yard? Maybe. Will you get 10 times better a product on your floor when it comes to carpeting? Absolutely.
All right. Good morning, Lou. I work in the contract furniture industry and can get someone to your office this morning to hopefully repair Steve's chair. My company name is Heinrichsen, and I've been in business in Chicago for 55 years. Thank you for that, 312. Lou, I have a tri-level house built in 71. I have wood siding, very poor insulation throughout the house. I'm thinking about putting on insulated siding or cutting holes or strips inside the house to insulate the walls. What would you recommend?
The insulated siding is not worth the upcharge. It doesn't give you enough R value. I would rather, if you're really trying to improve the siding in the home, I would talk with a blown-in insulation company. There are several of them. If you're going to do new siding, then you're going to take the siding off the side of the house, and you can do the installation of the insulation from the outside, then cover those holes that you made without disturbing the interior finishes of the home, and then re-side it. That's a better use of your money.
847, Lou, are gutter guards really good? Do they work, and is there a big difference between brands?
There's all kinds of differences. Full disclosure, one of our sponsors, Leafpool, I also work with them as a sponsor, is a complete system. So if you're considering replacing your gutters entirely, then that's the system to take a look at. If your gutters are in decent shape, there are a myriad of gutter caps that you can buy, and it's good, better, best. There are differences. You get what you pay for.
847, Lou, we need to replace our cedar shake roof. What's a cedar shake roof?
Cedar shake roof, in my opinion, is not anything we should use in this market, but many people do. It's a wood roof. It's traditional. It's, you know, goes way back before engineered shingling was invented. It's an expensive, pricey proposition that has to be maintained every 5 years. And because we have such extreme weather conditions here, unless you have some covenant where you live, I would really try and talk people out of it.
And from the 815, this is a Mary Vandeveld reference earlier, but I thought you might be interested as well. I'm sure Carson's will also sell their mannequins to you, even at the last minute, for $150. Lou, can we put you down for a mannequin from Carson's before they close the door?
I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you, it would be fun to use, you know, around the holidays or something like that. Yeah. But I am sad about the closing of Carson's. Yeah, I mean, I'm of that generation that we used to, I mean, my wife and I, when we first got married, bought our very first mattress at Carson's.
And you still have it today because you're that much of a romantic.
I think we do, actually. It's like in a spare bedroom. And it's super comfortable.
Yeah, there you go.
Like if I go take a nap sometimes, you know, I'm like, I'm going to go take a nap in that 40-year-old bed.
Memories. All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
I love you. Hope your chair gets better.
Yeah, thanks. See you, bye.
There you go.
All right, that's Lou.
$150 for a mannequin. Can I get 80% off?
I don't think they were that much, if they have any left.
Crazy.
Well, I would think a mannequin would be expensive. They're not that $150 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been in a mannequin game.
I thought you had that mannequin store for
a while. I did. It was European mannequins, different. The metric system, there's a lot going on there.
Too much for me.
Yeah. Are you looking for a boy mannequin or a girl mannequin?
Girl.
Yeah, they had all. They had both, and they had half mannequins and the full body mannequin.
Are they shooting a horror film in there? What are they doing?
I need the half, actually, so maybe I can just get half off.
Are they just selling torsos?
I need the torsos. Like
they had some, yes.
That's a store next to Carson's. It's just torsos.
Just torsos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming up on the program, Vicky Santo's joining us because she's got that Ron Santo, Vicky Santo Foundation that we always appreciate the opportunity to talk about because they do great work. We have White Sox tickets this morning. Dave's Tough Mudder, we'll explain what that is. Mayor Emanuel later. Steve Stone later. By the way, the White Sox offered us Steve Stone, I heard.
They did, yes.
Oh, good for them.
But they also gave us Jason Benetti.
Yeah, and I heard Jason was great. I would advise the White Sox to listen to 720 to find out who's on the show before they call and offer somebody. Michael Rooker later as well, and the great Miles Kaufman may join us if he has time.
He's got a big Minecraft. He's got a lot going
Steve,
on.
Steve, Miles was here yesterday, and he told us that he was not going to come on air because you weren't here.
Yeah.
And so he was waiting for
Uncle Steve is all he
does.
Man. Yeah.
It's good man.
It's contractual.
Yeah. Appreciate that. And John DeCoste has a ridiculous John question to ask for free tickets to tonight's show. We only got a few pair of these, but for tonight's show in St. Charles. We'll get to that next, too, on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's Friday, Friday.
Weekend, Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. 720 WGN, the Cochran Show here. 312-981-7200. Coming up, Mayor Emanuel is going to talk about his Chicago Public Schools news. The lowest dropout rate in, if not history, a very long time.
What do you think that's attributed to?
You know, they have made this a priority at CPS. They have put a lot into trying to, I guess, incentivize kids. You know, they did the community college or the city colleges are free. There's a lot of opportunities for kids that they didn't may not have had before. But a lot of critics would say, you know, this doesn't have much to do with policy. This just has to do with where we're at in 2018. That school might be a better choice than being on the street. So we'll talk about it.
But when do they start school?
After Labor Day, Tuesday after Labor Day. Yeah, they get out at. I mean, Miles got out June 11th, something like that.
Okay, so later.
June 20th.
Because a lot of the suburb schools started last week.
Yeah.
We start Monday, our kids. Okay. But Catherine is in high school now, and she's been doing stuff for school since the 8th of August. You know, sports started and things like that. So it's like we've
been. She's a freshman?
She's going to be a freshman, yeah. They call that a rising freshman now. That's the new cool way to say it.
Rising freshman?
Rising, yeah.
Is there a difference between regular freshman and rising freshman?
I don't know,
as opposed to falling freshman?
No. I think that's... if you're going into your junior year, you're a rising junior. Yeah. The other term that's come into use now is first years, as opposed to freshman.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was redshirted in high school.
Oh. Is that why you went for 5 years?
Yeah, that's right. I was 6 years. Come on, shortchange me.
John, do you have a ridiculous question for tonight's show?
I do.
First off, where is the show?
The show will be at Zany's in Pheasant Run out in St. Charles. How great is that?
Good.
8 o'clock show tonight. You, me, a little guest, and, of course, Mike Toomey from WGN Morning TV. So how great is that?
It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a funny show.
It's going to be great.
And each hour this morning, John is going to ask you a ridiculous John question. And the first correct answer will win the tickets. Got to be able to go to St. Charles tonight.
Correct. Yeah, you have to be able to go. And the
8 o'clock show?
Yeah, 8 o'clock show.
That seems late.
Okay.
Should move that up, 6:30, 6:15.
Yeah, so 8 for o'clock? Me, 8 o'clock is great.
On a Friday?
Even though you're not doing the show. But
well, I mean, as a guest, because I'd be coming from a distance, if it was earlier, like a 6 or 7 o'clock, the traffic would be terrible.
Right in the middle of rush hour.
And also, most people will get off of work, and they might grab a bite to eat before the show, and that's perfect timing.
I like it.
It's just perfect timing. So, and let me just read these questions. Everybody knows these questions, so don't get, you know, don't panic because you don't know him.
All right, 312-981-7200. First correct answer to first John ridiculous question, and that question is.
Oh,
he
here
just
we go.
Took a sip of water.
I didn't know it was somebody. I'm sorry. Okay, real simple. From 221 BC to 210 BC, who was the first emperor of China?
All right, give me that again.
Oh, wow.
From 221 BC to 210 BC, who was the first emperor of China?
I'm going to have to disqualify myself because obviously I knew the answer.
Oh, okay.
I mean, who doesn't? Really?
Wow.
All right. So first,
this is the
answer.
Question you give to give people free tickets.
I just want people to go.
Question.
I want people to be able to go to the show.
It's a ridiculous question. That's the point. 312-981-7200. That is the telephone
you want
number.
Eastern Asian history questions or buffs? History buffs
you don't know
to
that.
Be able to go.
I don't know. Next hour could be about wiffle ball.
That's
you
true.
Don't know.
Yeah, and I don't want to give hints because this is like ridiculously easy.
By the way, I just got a complaint text from someone calling me a coward about something. Let me just say, I don't want to get into the details of the question, but if you're going to call me a coward about something that hasn't happened yet, at least know how to spell the names of the people you reference in the question.
You don't need to do that.
It's on the internet.
It's 2018. You don't need to spell.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, so John DeCoste, the John Ridiculous question. I thought this would be obvious, but the John Ridiculous question is a ridiculous question. That's why we call it John's Ridiculous Question.
Right.
All right, so you'll ask the ridiculous question one more time, and let's see if we can get a winner for these tickets for tonight's show.
Sure. From 221 BC to 210 BC, who was the first emperor of China?
Was it Margaret Thatcher?
No, but close.
Mm. Let me go to line two.
I know the answer.
It's Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
All right, do you feel strongly that you have the answer to John's ridiculous question?
Well, I made a wild-ass guess. I'm going to guess Ming.
Is
the Ming Dynasty?
Oh,
you know what? I'm gonna go with that
answer.
And I think it's close enough. The actual answer is Qin Shi Huang.
Oh, it's so close! But because you actually fought it out,
yeah,
you're a big winner.
Oh. Well, thank you.
All right, we'll see you tonight at the show. Hold on a second.
That's great. I thought it would be like Tommy China. It's a name. It's be so early and it's. In BC,
China was named after.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, that's not a bad good idea.
Yeah.
But Ming Dynasty is pretty strong.
That's strong too.
That reminds me of a Chinese restaurant I used to like in Minneapolis called Ping's. It has nothing to do with the question. I just haven't been there in years.
Right, sure.
Plus, I play a lot of Ping clubs.
Yes.
Like I got Ping Woods in my bag on the golf course. So all this ties together.
It does.
Point.
It's really good.
Six degrees.
That's really good.
Our friend Vicky Santo's on the phone. The Ron and Vicky Santo Foundation does wonderful works, and it's always nice to talk to Vicky, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine. How are things in Arizona?
Everything's great in Arizona. A little toasty, but I'm here in Illinois, so
I can get
a break from the heat.
All right, and when you left Arizona, what was it, 175, 180?
You know, it was about 106, but we've had some... It's cooled off a little bit. We've had a lot of storms out there, as has everyone.
106 is cooled off. How about that, kids? All right, so tell us what the foundation does for people who aren't aware and what you're up to this weekend.
Well, the foundation has been formed to purchase puppies and train them to alert to diabetics when their sugars are changing. Hmm. And we mostly give these dogs to children who are in medical and financial need. And the dogs can alert. They alert when the sugars change in a diabetic. There's a chemical that's released that the dogs are trained to recognize. And when they do, they go up and they bark until the situation has been changed.
It's really incredible. It's amazing.
It is incredible. I've had such fabulous stories of the dogs alerting across a football field when the kid is out there playing football or in a parade. You know, the dogs are barking two blocks away. And by the time the kid gets up towards the parents, they pull them out of the parade, and yep, they're low. So it's awesome. It's awesome. It's life-changing for not only the diabetic, but for the family who is so worried every night whether their kid is going to wake up.
Right. Are you going to be able to go to sleep or what's happening? Sure,
yeah.
Of course.
Vicky, what's the cost of one of these dogs and to train this dog?
Start to finish is $19,000.
How about that?
And I know that sounds like a very hefty price tag, but it includes the purchase, the complete training, and during the training we keep insurance on the dogs and... the trainer is with these dogs 24/7. They sleep in the house with her because we need to have them be in the same kind of a situation that they're going to be in when they're delivered.
Right.
So they're not kept in a kennel. They're in her house. They, they alert at night. They alert during the day. It's an amazing training program.
All right, so this weekend you've got a special situation going on, which will alert people to the cause as well. And for those who want to just help in general, they can go to your website, which we'll give out in a second. But what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend we'll be at Wrigley Field for the next 3 days. And Fergie Jenkins, Andre Dawson, Billy Williams, and Bill Matlack are going to be there with us to sign memorabilia. And all the proceeds from this signing goes to our foundation.
Yeah, in,
so we'll be at Wrigley at Gate K. Billy will be there tomorrow. The other three will be there today through the whole weekend.
It's fabulous.
So we're very excited.
Well, as
very
you would
excited.
Be. Yeah, and they're all friends with Ron and friends with you through the years, so it's a great thing.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. We have a great time, and we love to have people come and, you know, not only get memorabilia, but sit down and share some stories with us. And, you know, I hear so many stories that I've never heard before from fans
sure.
who knew Ron, and it's just really a fun weekend for us. Really a fun weekend.
All right, website.
RonSantoFoundation.com.
Go there and explore. If you need help, there's ways to contact there. There's also ways to help by way of donating and other things. The events continue throughout the year.
May I say really quickly, for those who would like to donate a dog, we have that person name the dog, and we keep in touch with the donor through the foundation, where the dog goes, who, you know, what those kids can do now that they couldn't do before. And it's really kind of building a family for us of the donors and the children that have the dogs.
Well, it's great work that you're doing. And, you know, we miss Ron every day. And we'd love to hear what he would say about this Cubs season. But then again, that's not different than any other Cubs season.
that's for sure.
So
that's for sure.
Thanks for the work you guys continue to do, Vicki. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Nice to talk with you.
You as well. And get to Wrigley this weekend. Or if you're at Wrigley, look up those boys and get in line and get that autograph. All right, coming up, 7:02. Coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dave will explain why he'll be sloshing around in the mud this weekend with his son.
If I can figure out why.
Yes, and his son will explain why he invited Dave to slosh around in the mud with him. Is Stephen here yet?
No, I think he'll be on the phone.
Oh, I thought he'd come by.
He's got to go to work.
I was going to explain to him how to give you a grandchild like I did to his wife.
Yeah, I really, that may be why he's not coming in.
That's possible, yeah.
It's avoiding you for sure.
By the way, Mary Vandeveld, my fellow grandparent on the program, yesterday, Maureen is watching Abigail, and it's always cool to see, you know, the new things they discover, right?
Uh-huh.
So she's 2.5, and she's playing with some older girls, because she's a genius, and the older girls respect her. And they're on the playground, and one of the older girls says her name is Lauren, and Abigail turns and yells across the playground, "Hey, Grandma, this girl's name is Lauren, just like my mommy." Like it was the coolest thing ever.
That's
like,
cool, right?
What are the chances that another person could have my mommy's name?
She's
not wrong.
Popsy.
Yes, and she called me Popsy all day.
Good. It's sticking.
I love the Popsy.
Popsy. That's it. News next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
All right, 7:14. The highly fit David Ennett, sports legend of Chicago, even at his advanced age of 86 years old.
Okay, it's an overstatement.
Will be competing this weekend in something called the Tough Mudder.
Oh, the Tough Mudder.
Okay, yeah. Competing is not exactly the right word, Steve.
Well, Mary Vandeveld did this. Was it last year, Mary?
Rugged Maniac, I did. No, it was like 4 years ago now.
Right, maybe? And 4 years ago, and the infection that she picked up just cleared up this morning. and this is something that your son, Steven, asked you to be a part of.
He did.
This is a wonderful bonding thing. Is there a chance he's trying to drown you to get to the inheritance faster?
There's not enough inheritance there to make that worth it.
Oh, you keep selling
that.
There
are those Beanie Babies, though.
There is a box of Beanie Babies. He's welcome to them.
Now, I want to talk to Stephen with you, but then I want to bring in a special surprise guest who is known for his own physical fitness regimen as well. But before I do that, let me get Stephen in here to explain all of this. Here's the world-famous Steve Ennett. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Thanks for being on. You brought this up to your dad how long ago?
Well, you know, I actually originally booked to do it last year, and I got cold feet, so I've been kind of putting this off. It's been brought up a few times, but I think it became a serious consideration about 2 weeks ago.
And Dave, and this is a course that, well, first off, where is it?
Rockford Airport.
Right. At the Rockford Airport, is it 50 obstacles?
It is 20 obstacles.
20 obstacles over the course of how long?
50? My God, we'd need a paramedic.
why would you say that, Mary?
10 miles. 10 miles.
20 obstacles over the course of 10 miles.
Yes.
And you go under barbed wire, you swim through mud, there's guys shooting at you with flamethrowers.
There's
packs of wild dogs that are sent after you.
There's one where you have to crawl under like electric wires, and you get little mini shocks.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Have you thought about just paying someone to punch you in the face and not actually doing this? It'd be a time saver.
Thought has crossed my mind.
Okay. Let me get the special fitness expert in here. Fitness expert, would you do something like this?
Hell no. I think Dave needs to see a therapist. I think that would just cure this up. Or otherwise, go back and read that Greek tragedy called Oedipus. Because I think your son is trying to do something to you.
No, you wouldn't want to kill Dad. Not in this way. Mayor Emanuel is here. Now, you swim every morning.
I swim three times a week a mile, three times a week yoga, and three times a week aerobic.
Right. That's 9 days, by the way, just so we're clear.
Well, sometimes some of us, if we're really smart, we're able to realize that maybe we do two things at one day.
You double up?
Yeah.
Look at you multitasking. Yeah. All right, so, Stephen, could the mayor join you as well?
No interest. I'm not even going to go cheer on.
All right, well, I think we could use all the help we could get, but I also completely understand staying as far away from it as possible.
Stephen, is this a Northwestern-themed team name or anything going on?
Do you have a team name?
Do we?
You know, I hadn't thought about that.
You're just trying to stay alive at this point.
You can use the Enit to win it.
We've done that for the stair climb.
Yeah, go
Mr.
For
Mayor?
For the record, there's like the largest amateur triathlons going on in Chicago. It's a normal thing. You bike, you swim. I mean, swim, bike, run. Why would you go? Like, I'm like, are there enough antibiotics in the system with CDC?
Well, I don't know, but but I will say the triathlon, and I used to cover it every year. Yeah. It sounds really hard.
Yeah. So it sounds so hard that you would rather have tiny electrical shocks throughout the course of this.
And there's one event.
Why don't you just try a Jewish mother? It's easier than
There's an event called, I believe it's called the, correct me if I'm wrong, bud, the Arctic Enema, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
There's parts of town we have to pay extra for that.
Is this getting cleared by FCC?
Yeah. The whole show's on delay. So, Stephen, the mayor's making a point here, I think. If you had 20 Jewish mothers scattered over 10 miles, it could be just as painful.
It will feel like an electric shock.
I think he's going to skip the shock, right? You're going to skip the electric shock.
It was the only one on the list that had a lot of medical warnings and the little skull and crossbones logo next to it. So I might just take the scenic route around that one.
Mary Vandeveld said there's another that's a wall climb with knobs on it, like a rock climbing wall, but it's a little tougher to do when you're covered with mud and it's slippery.
Oh, there's really no knobs on it, I don't think. There's just arms at the top of people pulling you over, because most of us don't make it over.
Fantastic.
Dave, Steve, how do you train for this? Because you're obviously working out all the time, but how do you train for something that's so much above and beyond?
Well, I've only known about it for 2 weeks. He's been training.
Yeah, Stephen, what do? Do you just have neighbors throw mud at you when you're outside? What happens?
Yeah, just climb up the side of our building. There was a really clear and concise training guide on the Tough Mudder website with excruciating workouts each day that slowly has kind of been a good reality check every day that I'm still definitely not ready for this, but it at least prepares you
It reminds me of Ross Cochran, my son, and I. We're going to do some bonding this weekend. We're going to be at the comedy show tonight and then watch a Martin Short marathon throughout the weekend while we sit. So it's similar to this.
I'm worried about you, Steve.
Except for the mud and the water.
There's a quiz on their website that says, are you tough enough? And this is, you can take the Tough Mudder quiz to figure out if you're actually fit enough to do this. So
I think crazy should be in there,
Dave,
as well.
Have you taken that quiz?
I have not taken that quiz.
Don't take
the look on Dave's face right now when you were talking, Steve, when you were talking about the regiment of working out. That's not good. Your dad was like, there's actually an itinerary? Great.
But, there's the very last obstacle of the whole race, the finish line, you actually just climb up a ladder and then go down a water slide. So that sounds fun. That sounds like a nice way to end it.
I'm reversing myself.
You are?
Yeah. I want to say, Dave, I admire you for doing this.
I'm reversing myself, first of all,
here's why. As a father of a senior in college, who's done a couple things special that his son asked him. I think it's admirable that your son asked you to do something.
So
if your kid still wants to be with their dad
and thinks it's
cool enough, yeah. you're a big shot in my book.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And I'm sick and tired of Steve running you down like this.
Right.
I think it's disgusting.
But that's the job.
Because your kid wants to watch his TV show get in free off of you, and your son is trying to kill you. I have to think I admire your family a lot more than I admire Steve's.
We're right back to the whole Jewish mother thing. Stephen, last question. When you brought this up to your wife about this as an idea, what did she say?
I invited her to participate as well, and that was a hard no. She's actually going out on a boat on Lake Michigan with her friend Saturday.
That seemed like a better call.
Smart woman. That's hard too.
It's a smart woman. And Dave, when you brought this up to Stephen's mother, what did she say?
She actually was all for it.
Because she's going out on a boat in Lake Michigan with her daughter-in-law?
It gets back to the life insurance, I think.
It's a hard choice between Chardonnay or Chablis.
Chardonnay, Chablis, on the boat.
Which one do we bring?
Yeah, another SH words that you're swimming in. Listen, Stephen, I agree with the mayor. I think it's very cool you guys are doing this, and I'm very glad it's the two of you and not me, and I look forward to the report on Monday.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks.
I'll film the whole thing.
I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, bud. Call your mom.
Oh, good news, Dave. There's a listener from the 815 that says there are paramedics that are at the obstacle course. Her daughter works it, so you'll be safe because there's a lot of paramedics.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
One more thing to worry about.
But this is a good example of if your kid asks you to do anything with them together, even if it's an idea that you're not wild about, you'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. These are precious days. We don't get that much time anymore.
I'm actually serious about this. If, you know, like my daughter comes up to me and says, let's go to the hockey game. I'm like, I clear everything. I don't care what's on.
Because if
they're saying, I want to hang with you.
Right. Those opportunities become less and less.
I just hope we can hang with Dave on
Monday. Their mother doesn't want to hang with you.
right. But that comes with the territory.
Yeah.
We got some good news about the city. We always like to spend some time on that when the mayor's here, and then we'll ask him the viciously tough, unfair questions as well. But stand by for that.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Mayor Emanuel's here. Always nice to see you. Appreciate you coming over.
Thank you.
And sorry we're in the B room today as opposed to the Vegas showroom at the other end of the hall.
I like this room. I like the view.
We're updating this with our friends at Allstate. All right. So Urban Growers. Let me start there. Urban Growers is whom?
Urban Growers is a not-for-profit. They take old industrial sites and turn them into urban farms. I brought you some what this would be called. Vegetables. Work with me, Steve.
Vegetables.
They have eggplant in here. They have kale. They have collard greens. They have green tomatoes, green Japanese eggplant, yellow wax beans, something I'm sure that is familiar to the Cochran home.
I was in a band called the Yellow Wax Beans.
Okay, so they have it all here, and they even have a how to prepare. And then what I'm very excited about, we started this, Erica started this, we give them two CTA buses. They retrofit it as an urban grocery store. They drive specific routes on the south side and west side, and they help us eliminate the food deserts that exist in the city.
That's very cool. I didn't know that.
It's like a Dairy Queen with vegetables. And what happens is, what I love, is they have a very specific route. So you know Hamlin Park, Tuesday, 2 o'clock, and they take food stamps, the SNAP card, and you can get fresh fruits and vegetables in what are formerly food deserts. You don't have the need
for groceries.
So it's
a rolling farmer's market.
Rolling farmer's market, specifically, though, in food desert communities.
Tremendous.
And the kids that are, or the young men, not kids, that are actually doing all the growing, it's about 2 acres of farmland, are folks that wouldn't have a job otherwise. They have built up this great farm, and we support them. It's a park district land, and we do other things with them. They have now year-round growing capacity.
Okay.
And then they put it all on a truck. And if you buy X amount of vegetables, you get other type of stuff free. And it's part of our effort to eliminate food deserts in the city of Chicago, besides recruiting Whole Foods to Englewood's, Mariano's to Brownville.
Is that the way that the government and the city can alleviate some of these food deserts, is to try and attract big businesses and to encourage entrepreneurs?
It's both of those, exactly. And, you know, some places it will be brick and mortar, and some places this is like Peapod in Food Desert.
That's a cool idea.
And Erica does it, and she, I met with her dad, did an innovative thing in Milwaukee. I met with her when I first came to office. We changed the policy, and Chicago went from about an acre of urban farmland to about over 20 acres of urban farmland. She's the one that, though, has the distribution.
Well, and explain who Erica is.
Erica runs, you know, I don't want to give her last name, but she may or may not want it. But Erica runs the farm, and she runs this not-for-profit on the distribution.
Yeah, we just want to make sure they're getting credit for it.
Yeah, it's called Urban Growers Collective.
All right. Is the Urban Growers year-round or?
Year-round.
Year-round. That's a very cool idea.
It's an old steel facility. It was empty. We cleaned the, helped them eliminate everything. They now have not only fresh fruit and vegetables, they have goats, chickens, so they grow everything there. And it's an urban farm in the city of Chicago, and then they distribute it in food deserts. And I think we're going to try to add one or two more buses for them so they can have a slightly bigger distribution. By the way, again, all for food deserts.
You know how much I love this city. Did you see, by any chance, the sunrise this morning? The sunrise over the skyline this morning looked like an oil painting. I mean, the colors combined with the greatest skyline of any major city in the world, especially coming in from the west, just look fantastic. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, where'd Miles go with that picture?
I'm sharing Miles' picture right now to the mayor. So
I have actually, when I swim in the lake, one of the great things you get, since I go a little unnaturally early, is watching the sun come up over the horizon. Right. It is an exceptional view.
All right, one other thing before I ask you about politics.
I have one other piece of good news, since you love good news.
Well, that's the metric I was just going to bring up. There's a metric that you have to go by, which in part shows success and positive trends in schools, and certainly in major cities this applies. And that's how you're doing on the dropout rate. Mm-hmm. You got amazing numbers that I think even surprised your offices.
Is this a tease? So we could, the MVPP is Cornelius Swarthout. He is the inventor of the waffle. And so that's it's waffle day today.
It is National Waffle Day.
You can read your thing.
And then, because it's National Waffle Day, what thing am I reading?
Oh, you're holding a paper. I didn't know.
For the first time, I'm lost. I don't understand what
it is. National Waffle Day.
Yeah, so that's the MVPP.
It's a morning award.
And then
Cornelius Swart out of Troy, New York, National Waffle Day. First United States patent for a waffle iron was issued to Cornelius on August 24th, 1869. And you thought this show had no information?
Right.
Come on.
The data, the internet's done wonders for this show.
It really has.
It's an amazing capacity here.
All right. Tell me about the schools.
Ready? This goes to all the teachers, all the students, and the principals. It is the lowest dropout rate on the history of the Chicago public school system, 6.4. We've had in the last 6 years a 43% drop in our dropout rate. And that means, my personal view is, more and more kids are believing in themselves, more and more kids are getting themselves to graduation, which really changes their lives. And the other thing is, it proves some of the investments we made in City Year, in the mentoring, because young men of color are the biggest drop in that drop-off. And I don't know if you saw this, but last week when we settled in a lawsuit, the largest in the country with Uber and Lyft, we took all $10.4 million and put it towards mentoring.
It's great.
So to continue to drive, 6.4 is good, but we can do better.
And young men who have someone they can look up to, believe in, who can keep them between the white lines and inspire them.
If the biggest thing they have to look up to is themselves. They have lost, if you listen to them, and in the mentoring program and some of the things, they once again believe in themselves. And if they can believe in themselves, they're able to do a lot of things like our own kids. And that's the biggest thing that a mentor does for these kids.
It's a great story.
Well, and there's peer influence. If the mayor, that this program gets one kid to not drop out, and then maybe two of his friends are like, oh, maybe I don't drop out. You know, it's like a ripple effect.
Exactly.
I tell you what, let's have some waxy yellow beans while I read this, and then we'll come right back. Was it waxy yellow beans?
It is waxy yellow beans, but I'd like to see you do the, if I could, the kale raw without dressing.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Come on.
We'll have a kale off.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. I am going to make
it. Fred from Montgomery just won the Sox ticket. Sox and the Red Sox, Saturday, September 1st, 6:10. Mayor Emanuel is here, and we're talking off the air about school starting on September 4th. You got universal pre-K, which is great because these kids are going to get a shot that they didn't get before.
Yes.
And in some cases, that means going to a more stable environment, which is school.
Yes, and it's going to be a full day. And as I said, back in 2011, when I became mayor, we didn't even have full-day kindergarten. So we've added 2 years of additional educational time. We add an hour and 15 minute every day, 2 weeks every year. It's four more years of education for every child. And I think it's essential. And this is going to be a big process for the city, and it's going to change the city by ensuring that every child, regardless of where they live, has their education starts at 4, because in fourth grade, they start dropping out of college.
There are so many reports that come out around this time of year where you'll have schools that are underutilized, that are maybe underperforming, but a freshman class of 12 kids, 13 kids. Mm-hmm. A lot of the communities in Chicago will harken back to 5 years ago when the schools were, some schools were closed down. Mm-hmm. Do you see the improvements that you're talking about, whether it be universal pre-K, the mentoring program, the millions that you're being able to put into these things, as a direct result of the decisions you had to make to close schools in Chicago?
Well, look, the biggest decision we had to make was when I ran in 2011, we had the shortest school day and the shortest school year in the United States of America. That's a lot to be the last person. There's 7,000 school districts. We were dead last. The biggest decision was adding an additional hour and 15 minute a day in 2 weeks every year. That took a strike, which is weird, and plus universal full-day kindergarten for every child. But the high school, and I know we were just talking about this, our elementaries, you know, Stanford University and University of Chicago have just noted that Chicago Public Schools are the best urban education system in the United States. Our kids get 6 years of education in only 5 years.
Yeah, I like the fact that a lot of people who fought you on that are now taking credit for the decision.
As you know, failure has one parent and success has 1,000.
And that T-shirt has never caught on, by the way.
No, it has not. It's not exactly pithy, but it's a truth.
All right, we're going to run out of time here. Before we do, you're in the Oval. You've been in the Oval. You've been in that chief of staff's chair. Mm-hmm. You've got to talk to the guy that's the president of the United States, and you've got to tell him, stop saying stupid things.
I would say stop banging your spoon on the high chair.
Yes.
Because she's in a high chair.
But tell me what General Kelly, what John Kelly can do to mitigate the damage that Donald Trump continues to do to this country and do to himself.
Well, first, he can't. And everybody, look, here's his thing. Since he got elected, we have as a country gone through four waves of who will stop him. He's the president of the United States. This is the consequences of a real bad decision and a real bad election. And the fact is, you know, everybody talked about the adult team that was around him, McMaster, Mattis, etc. You don't hear anything about Mattis anymore. McMaster is gone.
You don't hear anything about anybody.
Okay, well, that's the point. And he purposely set it up this way. And so the problem is, at some point, I actually think it's not the people you're thinking about. It's the lawyers are going to say, you've now put yourself in legal jeopardy. And the one thing you got to give the Donald credit for is, at least through his career, he knows when he's in jeopardy, he can pull back. And I think he's putting himself in legal jeopardy. And I think it's actually going to require the lawyers telling him, not the chief of staff. Because this is not a government issue. This is about the way he has conducted himself in his prior years, where nobody was around to stop him inflicting.
It's the behaviors of a lifetime.
To himself is damaging the country.
Yeah, it's the behaviors of a lifetime that he thinks he can still repeat on some level. He did an interview this week where he literally looked in a camera and said, I can't believe anybody would want to impeach somebody that's doing such a good job. Yeah. Now, take away the part of not even understanding the process, because that's frightening on its own level. Mm-hmm. The whole play here is to try to convince the country that the economy will go upside down and we'll all be broke in the streets fighting each other if he goes away. Yeah. He's got 25-30% of the country, maybe 35%, that believe that. Can he move anybody else?
No, the biggest thing, the way you got to look at this, is the voters that voted for him that were not voting for him but against Hillary have left him. He's left with the pro-Trump vote, and he has lost since the election the anti-Hillary vote, and they are going to go back to the Democrats in the midterm election. And right now, based on a set of things he's done, like what he did at the border, etc., he's permanently lost them. Or I shouldn't say permanent, nothing's permanent in politics, but he has made the wall he's built is between him and the voters that voted for him.
Did Mexico pay for that one?
Yeah.
And last question, what's going on with the Democrats? Haven't picked a leader, haven't picked somebody to get behind. This whole is being handed to the Democrats, it couldn't be a bigger clown car. What are the Democrats doing?
Well, first of all, you got a midterm election. It's not about picking who's going to be the nominee. That will happen after the midterm elections. I think that the Democrats are poised in the Congress to reclaim the majority. And I think that's because they've actually, in my view, this election is very simple. It's about Donald Trump, and Democrats are a checkmate, and the Republicans are a blank check. And it's that simple, and I wouldn't get it more complicated. And he's brought in, for a guy that wanted to clear the swamp, he's brought in his own personal swamp, and he's lost more people out of his cabinet for corruption and other issues than any other administration this quickly.
Yeah, Nixon's spinning, going, "Wow, you got to clean this up, dude."
Yeah.
It's really remarkable, and it's more frightening every day. And part of the thing that's frightening is the public just goes, "Yeah, I don't want to hear about it."
But he has two standards, one for himself and one for everybody else.
That's
why you would have a statement like, "Why would you impeach a person who's doing so well?" Nobody would associate, first of all, if he thinks everything's going well, with what's happening right now in the conditions. And nobody associates it with him. And the only person that does is himself.
What's
delusional.
What goes on in Mitch McConnell's office? Does he just sit there and go, turn the lights off, tell him I'm not
Mitch
here?
Mitch McConnell's all, I mean, you should read, if you want to get a take on him, George Bush's take. It's pretty, you know, basically McConnell's all about McConnell's power. And has nothing to do with principle.
And all this comes down to the same thing, kids, whether it's the election for governor, the election for mayor, the election for Congress, the election for president. Get up, get out, and vote. You don't vote on Facebook. You don't vote on Twitter. You don't vote when you bitch to your neighbor. If you don't vote, you might as well just shut up. Your opinion's not going to matter. So get up, get out, and vote.
It's a very, look, elections matter. They have consequences. And McConnell, take me back to that. There's an example. He's all about the Supreme Court, and I think the nominee is a horrible choice by the president. That said, that's what McConnell's about because he knows the power of having a Supreme Court that's been basically majority appointed by Republicans.
One of these two parties,
He's willing to forgive things that he knows is not right for the direction of the country.
And at some point, one of these two parties is going to have to step up and say, "We're going to do what's right for the country, not what's right for the party." Any chance the Democrats will do that?
I think so. It's a challenge, but I think you say that, and I would actually reverse. That's a fair question. There's a second question, that when you say you want tough decisions, principled decisions, and you want to do that, then you have to stay with that person and not just walk out. Because guess what? They're tough decisions because the politics ain't great.
I get that, but my point is, I believe the right person, man, woman, child, who stands up and says, "I care more about this country than whether or not you reelect me, and here's what we have to do. Not what feels good for us in this party, not what feels good for you in that party. Here's what we have to do." I think America would rally behind that individual.
Well, here I'll give you a different take. Everybody's talking about our red and blue, urban versus rural, etc. I actually think the country is yearning for things of national unity.
Right.
I don't think they're wanting to be this divisive on ethnic, racial, income, geographic lines. And I'll give you an example. When I wrote the book, The Plan, Big Ideas for Democratic Future, we laid out a whole series of things, Bruce Reed and I. The one thing that surprised me, this is back in 2005, we called for post-high school national service 6 months.
Right.
I was amazed at we had things on health care and retirement, universal full-day pre-K.
Yep.
I was amazed at the reaction, and I think there are things like national service. They're not about taxes. They're not about trade, but I think the country actually is yearning for a unified purpose that brings, and I think the benefit to the country beyond the purpose and solving a specific thing is bringing people of all walks of life to work together side by side, and I actually think they want the cords and the threads that tie us together to be strengthened. And what's sad about this president is doing everything he can to exacerbate differences rather than find unifying purposes.
It's all about him. It's all about him. Thanks for coming over. Appreciate
thanks.
It. And
Steve,
thanks for the waxy
second.
Yellow vegetables.
No. Well, I'm doing this. I've always done this. Here. I want you and I right now. Some people do this. This would be L'chaim.
Is this
go.
A snap bean?
No, come on. Let's go.
That's
let's
a
go.
Wax bean.
Come on.
All right. So I got to break it. Do I just eat it?
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Do it with me, brother. It's a vegetable.
That's so good. You know what it tastes like? It tastes like it came out of the ground. That's how good it is.
It is good.
Do you need some ranch?
This is tremendous. Do I need some ranch? Yeah. About a barrel of it.
You know, it's really sad, Steve.
Yeah?
How many times have I come to try to make you, Steve Cochran, a better person, and all you do...
It's working.
Yes, it is working. You look good. What did I say when I walked in?
You told me I looked nice and you sat on my lap for just a second. All right.
I said, thanks, Santa.
Congrats on the good news of the day and the week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
See ya.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. And I'm hungry like-
I thought the mayor would just...
Heard Duran Duran in a while?
I know, right? I thought the mayor, he brought in the vegetables for you. I thought it was just a prop and that he'd take them with him when he left, but he left them here.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Steve.
You know what? There's going to be enough. I mean, I want to eat most of them, as you know, but if you want to dive in...
Okay.
I didn't realize the aftertaste of waxy yellow beans would be this long.
There's not an aftertaste. They're really good.
You know, we were just talking about schools, and Justin, I noticed the more popular Kaufman is here today.
Yes, Miles is here. Miles, of course, a CPS student who right now camp is over, so we've got the daunting task, as many do in who live in Chicago, parents, of finding things for Miles to do. So it's been Take Miles to Work week. My wife had him for the first couple of days. I have him for the next two.
How do you feel about coming in this early, Miles?
I feel great.
Whoops, hold on, buddy. I'm sorry. The mic was on. Try that again. How do you feel about
it? I feel great.
Is he tough to get out of bed?
I told him. The one day, it's the novelty. But we did two in a row. So this morning, it was a much tougher, it was a complainy commute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tired.
How do you buy them off? Like, is it breakfast on the way or something?
It is. It's Dunkin' Donuts.
What's your order? It's the same.
Chocolate frosted with sprinkles, I think.
Yeah.
He told me yesterday he doesn't veer off from that. That's what he likes.
That's a solid choice. It's
an
American
choice. And then
he threw
back some Oreos yesterday. He had Oreos following the dinner.
There's a lot of chocolate. When he comes here and he goes into Stephanie's office, Stephanie has a lot of chocolatey things. Miles is hopped up by the time we're out of here.
Sugar buzz like nobody's business.
And we're going on vacation. It's our last show for a week. We'll be back after Labor Day.
So you said you got to kill time. Yeah. What's one of the things you're doing?
Well, taking Miles to work is one. Right. But next week, we're leaving. We're doing a road trip. We're going an art road trip. We're going to Cleveland, and we're going to Pittsburgh.
Every kid's dream, the art road trip.
We're going to see some cool art.
In Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Cleveland, the steel cities.
The Cleveland Museum of Art has the Yayoi Kusama. We've talked about this. Mm-hmm. The big Smithsonian exhibit.
The Infinity Room.
There you go. And then we're going to the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh.
And right outside.
Do you know who Andy Warhol is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's very impressive for someone your age. Yeah. How do you feel about a large Coke can?
What?
That's one of Andy Warhol's famous paintings.
Yeah, he's got all the... You saw Andy Warhol stuff.
Well, I love Coke, so I think I'll love
Coke. There you go. That's all you need.
There you go.
Oh, that's right. They were at the Sox game this week. They went to Copac Day.
We did.
And Miles got a cherry Coke and some ice cream, but now that I just remember, it was a secret, and we weren't supposed to say that on the air.
Look what happened there. All right, so Miles, I understand one of the things you're interested in, and maybe even as a grown-up, is you're going to be an actor?
Yes, I mean, maybe.
Miles is auditioning for a youth ensemble at a local theater coming up in
Is this the one that rhymes with Looking Glass?
Yes, and we're excited about it, and Miles has been working on a monologue, and then when I said, hey, maybe you can come in and share that monologue, because we're on the road trip, there's a lot of time, so we're going to be working it out, but Miles is already off book on this thing, which is amazing to me.
Off book for you non-actor types means he memorized the lines.
He memorized all his lines. He's been working on it. And I think he's doing pretty good, but I wanted to save it.
How did you choose this particular piece, Miles? Is it because someone picked it out for you?
Yes.
All right, and who was that someone?
That's not true.
What? Picked it out for me.
Well, no, we gave you 20 different choices. We said, here are monologues that we've got. Which one do you like?
When you say we?
Then I chose one. I said, I like this one. And then he said, how about this wolf one?
I don't want to be a stage parent. I'm a stage parent.
Well, you already are, apparently.
I guess so.
All right, so Miles, what do you need for us to get out of the way so you can perform this for us? It's a good practice. I mean, do we need to leave the room, or can we stay in here with you?
No, you don't have to.
Okay, can we sit here judgmentally like they do at actual auditions?
Yes.
All right. So tell us what
that would be perfect.
Tell us what this piece is, who wrote it, and give us the monologue.
This piece is called Wolf, and it's by D.M. Larson. I'm not very sure if it's called Wolf or not.
I think it's Wolf. Yeah.
You want to do the clap?
I'll do it. Okay, Miles, are you ready?
Yes.
Here is the clap, and go.
Man, you accidentally knocked down some pig's house with a sneeze, and they start telling stories about you. And now there's this little girl in a red hood. Who knows what to say about this one? I have self-esteem issues, too. Everyone's always going around saying what big nose you have and what big teeth you have. It hurts. I just want to go away someplace where I won't bother anyone. They're always promising happy endings, but where's my happy ending? All that happily ever after seems to be reserved for princesses and cute little animals, especially bunnies. Why are rabbits always getting all the happy endings? They're rodents, I tell you, rodents.
And scene.
Nicely done, dude. Oh, nicely done. Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, Miles, I'm being serious. I'm being serious. I thought that was really good.
Thank you.
Really good. I thought his pacing was really good. You know, the right amount of emotion. We're got a little preteen angst.
Yeah, I think that what we're trying to lessons with Miles is trying to understand that the emotion of the wolf in this case, that he's always being painted out as a bad guy. Maybe there's misunderstanding. Maybe he's not as bad as people think.
And you think you're a stage dad. Miles, really, I'm very impressed.
Thank Good you. Job, buddy.
Yeah. And Thank will you. Will David Schwimmer be at the audition?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. It's okay. Yeah.
If David Schwimmer's there, walk in and just look at him and go, how you doing? He'll find that so funny. Hilarious.
Would it be ridiculous if we went in there and be like, this monologue is from Friends? It's ridiculous.
Someone's probably going to do that.
We were on a break like that.
Yeah, yeah. On a break monologue. Yeah. Miles, well done, buddy. I would give you the part, but unfortunately, I don't have the call here.
And I think that's why Super Joe played that song, because it had Wolf in it.
Yeah, Hungry Like the Wolf.
Very
like
subtle, yeah, right. Super Joe.
And and we got to go to break and news, and I have notes, Miles.
All right, so you guys are going to leave the room, and there's going to be instruction.
No.
Steve Cochran Show celebrating. By the way, if you want to follow Miles on social media, I'm sure he's on every platform.
Yeah. No.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one action.
It's 8:13, Dean Richards, live at Channel 9. And in the carnival car of politics that is Washington, there's a senator named Duncan Hunter, or a congressman named Duncan Hunter, who is now blaming his wife for misuse of campaign funds. I wonder how that conversation goes at the House. When you do an interview and you go, oh, yeah, no, my wife keeps the books. That's going to be a rough night. It's going to be a rough night at home.
How did she get it? No, whatever. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, right. It's like it's just the family checkbook. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what she was doing with the credit. Oh, how'd she have the... All right.
Dean Richards will join us here in just a second. And, Dean, let me know when you're online. We got a couple of technical adjustments we're making here. At 8:14, John, do you have another ridiculous question that we can do for
tickets? Of course I do. Of course I do.
To Zany's tonight. Show is 8 o'clock.
Show is 8 o'clock tonight at Zany's St. Charles. It is, you can call zanysfestrun.com for tickets. Call the box office directly at 630-524-0001. It's Steve Cochran, Mike Toomey from WGN Morning TV, myself. Special debut of Ted Wilson today. So tonight, that'll be fun. So just a great show. A lot of fun.
Awesome.
If you like to laugh on a Friday night.
Yeah, well, that's if you're looking, you know, then come. But if... You know.
All right, and the ridiculous question must be answered correctly by the first caller who has the correct answer at 312-981-7200. What ridiculous question do you have for us?
Well, actually, they're going to call in, and we're going to choose a listener to be on the phone.
The question's going to surprise the listener.
Oh, is that right? Okay, that's you know what? Look how surprised I am.
Surprise the host.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. When you have a caller, Joe, let me know.
And don't be intimidated. These are easy questions. Everybody should be able to get them, so not an issue.
Like the Chinese emperor thing that you did last hour?
Who didn't know that?
Dean Richards, do you have us here?
I'm right here.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah. We had a number of things we had to adjust.
You just keep your adjusting to yourself.
The adjustments are now over.
Do not need to know about any of your adjustments.
Bewitched is coming back.
How about that?
Is that something we need?
I think we do. Don't we need a little Endora in this world?
But who's going to play Barbara Eden? No, that's the wrong show.
No.
Who's
going to
play? I Dream of Jeannie.
Who's going to play Elizabeth Montgomery?
Samantha. Samantha is the character's name that you're looking for.
Who's going to play her evil twin sister?
Serena?
Okay, yes.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted. Wow. I'm distracted. I just looked up and I never realized how much Mark David Chapman looks like Steve Dahl. All right, back to you. guy that killed John Lennon got denied parole again.
Denied parole for the 10th time. They have not announced casting on this yet, but ABC has ordered a pilot for a reboot of Bewitched, the premise of which will now be that Samantha is an African-American witch married to a mortal white man?
January Jones. That's who should play her.
Oh.
What do you think, Dean?
No, she's supposed but to she's be African-American.
She's African-American.
Oh.
Well, she's a good actor. She could play African-American.
You want to go colorblind casting on the new
Bewitched. The one that was in Scandal.
Okay.
The one in
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington. That's a good call. That's a good call.
She's
going to
so
play
beautiful.
Mrs. Kravitz.
Yeah.
Well, that would be January Jones.
We were actually talking about all this earlier. Mike Toomey. Do you guys have Mike Toomey hooked up yet?
Mike, you with us?
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning, Mike.
Mike Toomey and I, we were talking about this Bewitched reboot.
For the role of Larry Tate.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. He's auditioning for the role of Larry Tate.
Yeah. So I've got that audition later on this afternoon. So I'm going to try this out.
All right. Let me try this now. Dean, can you hear Mike?
I barely, yes.
I don't hear Dean.
Okay, so this is going to work out really well.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pretend this is a walkie-talkie. Stand by, Mike. I'll be in touch with you in just a second.
Push the button down when you talk.
Okay. All right, so the Bewitched reboot casting still to come, and when we come back, reviews of the Happy Time Murders, The Wife with Glenn Close, Juliet Naked is not a request, it's a movie title.
Steve, I'm also, by the way, told that Serena was Samantha's cousin, not sister.
Oh, okay. Well, we do want to make sure we get that factually accurate.
Might be which experts have texted me, texting me.
Okay. And Mike Toomey.
Which is the name of my book, Dark Haired
Cousin. Who did you have as Uncle Arthur, Mike?
Uncle Arthur? I had RuPaul or Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Are you having a laugh?
Uncle Arthur.
Those are pretty strong.
You guys keep forgetting to say over.
Over.
Doesn't there have to be? Did we mention this? Two Darrens?
Yeah,
they'll switch them up.
They haven't said on this officially yet, but you know how they on Love Boat they would have different cast every week. On the new Bewitched, they would have a different Darren every single week.
How about the two Darrens, Alan Alda and Justin Timberlake? Two guys that you wouldn't.
So it'll be an interracial
yeah.
mid-episode. Yeah. Like, not even they don't even wait to a new episode.
That's the same show.
Come back from a commercial, and he's an 85-year-old man.
That's it.
That's what I'm saying. Because Endora did that to him.
Yes,
right.
Dude, would
giant donkey ears too.
Mike Toomey joins us tonight at Zany St. Charles. That's coming up, and the movie reviews and more. Stand by, fellas.
We'll be calling his name. Oh. Dean Richards. And
strike anybody else is kind of appropriate that the latest character in the Trump situation, the boss at American Media's name is David Pecker. Doesn't it seem like that fits on some level? Good Lord. I'm just looking for a plug for Dean's Night Out, Legally Blonde, the musical.
What?
September 16th at 5:30 at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. Dean's going to host 10 viewers and listeners.
What's this?
At a pre-show reception.
What?
What do you do, like sleight of hand magic? What do you do at one of these receptions?
I go table to table and... Sometimes I kiss the people.
Oh, sure, like a Richard Dawson tongue thing?
Yeah, I greet them. Well, lips, full-on lips.
Ah, nice.
And just let me, I still have that balloon you twisted for me, the giraffe.
Oh, that's nice.
It still has air in it, so thank you
balloon
so
animals.
Much.
I do balloon animals for people, face makeup, face painting. I do face painting. We have a couple of cocktails before we go see whatever the show is.
So you get the crowd drunk, and then you go in and heckle Legally Blonde.
They heckle whatever the show is. But we have a nice time at the beautiful Paramount Theater in Aurora.
If you go to WGNradio.com, you can click on Dean's head or where it says click here.
/contest.
And you can enter. You can also enter to win the Chevy Silverado there as well. So that's all good. I mean, you can win the Silverado and drive it to the pre-show party that you're going to with Dean. And then he'll kiss you.
Information there on the big show that you guys are doing with Mike Toomey?
No. Mm-hmm. No, the station said they wouldn't put that up.
Hey, before I leave, I have to go, but I just wanted to let you know that Dean made a balloon animal for me today.
What do you make?
Yeah, it's of David Pecker.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I like to name them. I like to name them.
That's fantastic. All right, Mike, we'll see you tonight at Zany's.
See you guys.
Thanks, okay. Mike.
Right now, Mike is going, boy, that was worth all my time sitting there. That was worth me sitting here for 25 minutes.
Well, we hate to break up a career. Mark is in Elmhurst. All right, Mark, Dean, or I should say John, will ask you the ridiculous John question of the hour for tickets to tonight's show where Mike Toomey may or may not show up. All right, what is the question?
Good morning, Mark. Here we go. And your answer has to be within 100, okay? By 1852, how many people died from the Irish potato famine? And remember, it has to be within 100.
By 1852, how many people died in the Irish potato famine? You could use Dean as a celebrity helper.
Oh, yes,
like.
Please. Yeah. I can't believe you would need this, but whatever.
Dean, any thoughts?
No.
Oh, great.
Why don't you go with 12,409?
I was going to say, let me try this, 78,000.
Okay.
And I'll go with 12,409.
I think Mark's going for the tickets, so let's see.
You said between 1 and 100?
2,100 is Mark's answer.
2,100?
Yes.
You know what? That is, I'm going to give it to you. That's close enough. The actual answer is 1,137,000.
I was going to say a million.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of bad potatoes.
So, but wow. Mark, wow. You get the tickets. Be happy. This is good.
Off. Fantastic.
All right, we'll see you tonight, Mark. Hold on, okay?
Great. I don't know anything about potatoes, yeah. And I was going to guess a million just off the top of my head.
And you still would have been off.
I would have looked so smart, though, but I was closer than any of you mopes.
I got to get ready on my Irish history. That's terrible. I was way off.
Well, let me tell you something. You got to watch out for those potatoes. That's all I'm saying. Why is Juliet naked?
Juliet Naked is the name of a song that's in a movie that stars Ethan Hawke and Rose Byrne.
Friend of the show, Ethan Hawke.
Yes, he's really good in this movie. He plays a reclusive rock star, super popular like 30 years ago, and then completely disappears, develops this cult following. Rose Byrne is a lovely lady in London who falls in love with a guy who is madly in love with this reclusive rock star. He's, you know, like one of these nerdy rock star followers. And she accidentally meets the reclusive rock star on the internet, and they become friends, and they meet. So it's the story of these two people whose lives have sort of been wasted trying to get a second chance on their lives, but done in a very charming way and set against this story of the reclusive rock star.
But is it set up as a love triangle, or is
it... Not really. No, not really. The nerdy boyfriend gets pushed to the side because he's so controlling and he's so into his obsession with this rock star. He doesn't even know that she has met the person that he has been obsessive over for all of these decades.
All right. Why are the Happy Time Murders so happy?
Happy Time Murders, I'm not so happy to report to you, is maybe the worst movie of the year so far.
What?
This is the Dirty Puppet movie that comes to us from the son of Jim Henson, Brian Henson. These are not the actual Muppets themselves, but they look just like the Muppets, and they sound just like the Muppets. And Jim Henson must be rolling over in his grave that his son would create a movie in which the puppets do drugs, are addicted to porn.
Really?
Are sex addicts.
Why?
Swear.
Why?
Smoke. They do everything, you know, they're just completely raunchy. It's a very hard R-rated movie about puppets that are kind of degenerates. I love a good irreverent movie, but this one, the storyline, it's a murder, you know, puppets trying to solve a murder mystery. Not that interesting. And most of all, it is just painfully unfunny. Not funny at all. So once the shock of hearing a puppet drop the F-bomb, you know, wears off, which is in the first 5 minutes, the movie pretty much is projectile body fluids for the rest of the time, which, you know, call me crazy, I don't think is that funny.
It's bizarre.
Wow.
Dean's list D-minus on this one.
Do we know? Hated it. Do we know what the relationship was between him and his father?
I don't, but...
Because this feels like dysfunctional revenge.
Yeah, this feels like I'm going to get even with you, Dad. I've got bizarre. This famous name, and watch what I do with it. Melissa McCarthy's in it. I mean, there are some decent humans that are in it. But, man, this one is just terrible.
True. Yeah, it sounds awful.
It's just terrible.
The Wife with Glenn Close, and I understand Jonathan Pryce is tremendous in this.
Yeah, he's tremendous. He's going to get Oscar nominated. She is going to get Oscar nominated for this role. Their husband and wife. She is this, you know, this certain breed of stoic, partnership in a marriage that always looks at the better half. of the marriage, tries to make the best of anything that's happening, even though her husband is a blowhard, self-consumed, loudmouth. She always, you know, smiles and tries to put a good face on it all. He's just been awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature and becomes absolutely unbearable. And it's what this woman who has put up with a life of dealing with this guy, the point that she finally gets to in this movie. It's one of her best roles. It's beautifully acted. It's a very interesting story. Jonathan Pryce also is very good in this movie, and this one is a Dean's List B+. Won a really good straight drama. This is the one to see.
Yeah, I think there's only a couple tickets left for the show tonight, but we do want to remind you that Dean will be doing New Year's Eve with us.
Yes. And just recently added balloon animals for everyone that shows up. I've got my, what's the guy's name? David Pecker?
Yes. David Pecker.
I'm going to be doing David Pecker balloons for everyone that comes to the show.
Oh.
We'll also have you in, sorry, go ahead, Mary.
Oh, no.
No, we'll also have you in the lobby doing your caricatures.
Oh, that'll be great.
And palm reading at the same time.
That'll be great.
Dean, I know you were conscious of time, so you didn't have this on your list, but Very Cavallari, season two, there will be a season two, so more Jay Cutler, just so you guys know.
Oh, are you excited?
I'm very excited.
It's a big day for you.
I know.
So, yes.
More Jay Cutler.
How did I miss that? How did I miss that important story?
Spinoffs are coming, man. It's going to be the Jay Cutler reality show channel coming up. He's so good.
Well, that's good because the energy he has, I really want to be a part of that.
One more season of this show until she runs for president.
Right.
You know what I'd vote for. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
That's Dean. Back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
A breaking in the air, deep left, just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Stone on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Where are you eating today, Steve?
Well, it would have been Wildfire, except I still find myself in Detroit. Other than that, it seems like a good place to go.
All right, so everybody go to Wildfire today. Steve, I don't know. Maybe I'm an old man.
Yes.
But you could have fought me on that. But I tire of the outrage the internet finds every day. And I don't know who is in charge of going back on celebrities' Twitter feeds to find out if they ever said anything that was questionable or maybe even offensive. But now we have this Michael Kopech story. This is not as egregious as some others. It certainly could be deemed offensive, but I don't have that kind of free time where I'm going to go back and see if Michael Kopech ever offended me when he was 17 years old. Do you understand that?
Well, I understand, I guess, why it's coming up. I mean, I think it's time that people understand, and I think they do a bit, understand that once they do put it out there on their computers or their smartphones, it stays there pretty much forever. And the unfortunate part is you can't legislate intelligence as a young person.
Right.
I think that we all make a lot of mistakes. We all do things we wish we wouldn't have done. But some of the people, that's what they do growing up, and then they learn about it and don't repeat it again. But it's down there. It's part of their history, and it comes up, and everybody makes them into horrible people when they make some mindless tweets or some other things that they do as very young people. And, you know, it's not excusing them for something that they shouldn't
right.
have done. It's the excesses of youth. I think the statement is if we live through our excesses of youth, we turn out okay. And unfortunately, once you put it down, once it's kind of memorialized there, it never goes away, and you're stuck with it. So I would say to our younger people and some of our older people alike, be careful what you decide to to chronicle as far as growing up is concerned, because you're going to live with that the rest of your life, apparently.
Well, in Michael Kopech's case, and we talk about, you know, him growing up, he's only 22 years old. This was five years ago. Mm-hmm. The language that he used in tweets at that time was unacceptable to our society. It's not like we're going back to the 70s. For what did the White Sox do in this situation? Obviously, it's gone to the attention of national media. People are talking about it. What do you think the White Sox should do to handle a situation like this?
Well, fortunately, I'm not in the position to have to do that. I think it's something that they're going to take a long, hard look at, and they're going to make they probably, whatever they decide to do in this one is something that they're going to have to carry over, because I think it's something where you need a blanket policy. This is what you decide to do, and this is how you're going to handle this going forward. I don't think we've seen the last of this. I think we're going to see a whole lot of this as people go back and take a look at what everybody did as they were very young people. Who's in charge of it? I have no idea. I don't know why this keeps on popping up. It just seems to do that. I don't think we're ever going to get away from it. So I don't know what the White Sox are going to do. I think they're going to take their time, however.
And I'm going to get Dave in here on this, but Dave, if people went back, well, not in your case because you're a better person than I am, Dave, but if you went back to the 70s and you somehow had access to everything I said in the 70s when I was a teenager, or in the 80s when I was first coming up in the business, there'd be problems. I guarantee you there would be problems that Tribune Media would have to take up. Not that I'm dropping the N-word, but we all say stupid stuff.
Well, look, the veteran voice of the Indianapolis Colts was let go this past week at the age of 80 for using the N-word in a conversation off the air. And so, I mean, it's something that anything you say, and if we're in this business, we all understand it, and it holds for professional sports too. You're under a microscope, which brings us to the comments, or the column rather, written by Eloy Jimenez, the White Sox top prospect, Steve, in the Players Tribune. I'm sure you've seen this quote. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to put on that White Sox uniform, show you all what I can do to be part of this community, meet all the fans, make it clear that this is a new era of White Sox baseball. I want to hit bombs, lots and lots of bombs. Am I ready for the big leagues? I'm beyond ready.
Oh.
And
there's a pitch.
White Sox fans read that. If they're not already jacked about this kid, I mean, that only just kind of takes it to the nth degree.
Well, I want each and every one of my players. If I were running the White Sox organization, I would feel pretty good about that. I would want each and every one of my players to have that same attitude.
Right.
I want them to believe that they are ready. I want them to believe when they get their opportunity, they're going to come up and they're going to dominate. I want them with more confidence than they've ever had in their lives. I mean, that's how you're able to perform. You're able to believe that you can do it, then you go out there and you do it. So, I think it's terrific. If I were associated with this organization more than just an employee, I would be absolutely ecstatic when I read that. I like when I hear Michael Kopech doesn't want to be anything but the best. He doesn't want to accept second best in anything. I like that. I think that's a wonderful attitude to have. And so it doesn't surprise me, having talked with Aloy before and understanding what kind of a kid he is, and it's a quiet confidence that he has. He's very much assured that he's going to be able to hit here, and there's nothing that I've seen that's going to dissuade me of that idea. So it doesn't surprise me that he has that particular attitude, one that I can do this, I'm ready to do it, so give me opportunity to do it. So as far as the White Sox are concerned, now the ball is in their court, and they're going to make their decision and do what they're going to do. But I think they saw how exciting it was to have Michael Kopech here, and we'll have to see what happens with Aloy. But as far as being ready is concerned, I can't make that determination. I haven't seen each and every one of the games. All I can do is do what you guys do, and that's read the results. The results have been awesome. He is pounding AAA pitchers. He's done nothing anywhere he's ever been to stop this idea that he's going to not only be a major league player, he's going to major league star. It's just a question of when.
4 for 5 yesterday, by the way. But I agree with you about Aloy's comments. Getting back to Kopech, you made a comment. I mentioned this to Jason Benetti when he was on with us yesterday. You made a comment during the broadcast, during Kopech's appearance the other night on Tuesday, that you said, when he pitches again, you're going to actually see that velocity come up a little bit, which I was kind of thinking, well, you would think that he'd be throwing harder his first game because the adrenaline's pumping so much, but you actually think that maybe he'll throw a little faster. He was hitting 98 pretty consistently the other night.
Yeah, I think he will. He averaged a little under 97, 96.7, 96.8, something like that. I think he's capable of throwing harder. I think we will see him throw harder. I think when he gets, when all of the stress and all of the tension of this first outing, the first couple outings, when they go away and we see him really relax, in his new job, and that is a major league starting pitcher. When we see him relax in that job, we're going to see him throw a bit harder. He can get it up there triple digits, maybe a little bit more. I like the fact that he showed some restraint to keep it where it was, trying to throw it over the plate, because that show is a bit of a maturation process. But I think it was a product of, number one, not wanting to let it all go, and two, maybe being a little tighter than he'll be as he moves forward in these outings. But I think we will see him throw a little bit harder. What I said was he doesn't have to throw any harder. I just know that he's capable of doing that, and I think we'll see it as he moves along.
As we have just a little over a month left of the regular season, Jose Abreu goes down with the emergency abdominal surgery, so he may not be back until the last couple weeks of the season. Who needs to step up on this White Sox squad, and should we expect with the expansion of the roster to see some of these kids beyond Eloy Jimenez that could contribute with the absence of an Abreu?
I don't know how many of these guys that they're going to see fit to bring up. It doesn't appear that there's going to be a lot of them. It doesn't seem to be any reason to bring a lot of these guys up at this point. But I think we'll see a couple of these guys. And who should I expect to step forward? Well, what I'd like to see is some prolonged at bats for a couple of guys, and I think we will. One is Nicky Delmonico, because we're going to make a determination just exactly where Nicky's going to fit in this. You know, he does give the Sox one of the things that they need, which is a left-handed bat, a guy who can drive in some runs, hit the ball out of the ballpark. And I think we're seeing when Nicky gets his requisite amount of swings in consecutive games, he's able to do that. So it's nice to see him starting to have better at-bats. I want to see Adam Engel have better at-bats. I want to see him doing just exactly what he's doing now, and that's not exactly once a game, maybe once every other game. He's starting to show that he can bunt. You know, get the ball down, get it in play, make him move in at the corners for you, play a game that's associated with a smaller man's game, although he does have power, we've seen that. So I want to see Adam Engel step forward. That's going to be, is he going to be in contention next year for that spot in center field? So this is important for him. It's important for Matt Davidson, because I think Matt now, with Abreu out, Matt's going to get some ABs. And, you know, whether it's this ball club or any other ball club, he can hit the ball out of the ballpark. He just has to get consistent at bats, and then we'll see that stroke back to where it was. So if you're looking for three guys to make the next step in the absence of Abreu and the absence of Leury Garcia, who was getting some at-bats, I think Engel is one of those guys. I think Delmonico is another, and I think Davidson is another one of those big three. I think we get a pretty good handle on what some of the other guys can do. But I'm just looking at those three guys specifically, saying they have to show something now, which will give him an opportunity to compete next year or to move on. We don't know exactly what this roster is going to look like, depending on who they decide to bring up. But I don't think it's going to be wholesale changes on September 1st for this ball
club. I just got through Steve Stone's Twitter account from the 70s, and this is shocking, but at one point he said Kojak was a bad actor. That's the kind of thing that's going to come back to haunt you.
Well, it could very well be. I liked his hairstyle, however, and the suckers were great. But, you're right. You know, I think it's kind of a good thing for most of us who make our living publicly that we didn't have a whole lot of Twitter feeds in the 70s. We could actually say some things that people actually forgot about. I think that may be the nice thing. I can't go back, and I have no idea everything that I said, and I wouldn't want to. But, you've got to be as careful as you can possibly be, and justifiably so at this point. I mean, there's certain things in polite society that we don't say, we shouldn't say, we should never say. But, you know, that being said, we all do things that we regret. We all do things that we wish we didn't do.
Right.
And for many of us, we're very fortunate that there wasn't this whole laundry list of the things that we did say, so that you can come back and look and say, you know what, you were really a moron when you were 16. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what being 16 is all about.
Right. That's the job. All right, Steve, thank you. White Sox baseball, of course, on WGN all season long. And as the team continues to get better, we look forward to talking to everyone on the team. We look forward to White Sox, the White Sox listening to the show. Steve Stone on Baseball is sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Is it cold in here?
Yes.
It's like Tribune Tower cold today. Right?
It's brisk.
If anybody has any meat they need to hang, come by. John, do you have another question, a ridiculous question for tickets tonight?
Yes.
For the Rosemont, for the St. Charles Zanies.
St. Charles.
Stand-up comedy show with Mike Toomey, you and me.
Correct.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock tonight, yes.
Zanies.com for tickets.
Zanies.com for tickets, or you can call the box office directly at 630-524-0001.
If you can make it tonight, answer this question.
Well, they're going to call, and then John's going to ask them the question.
But in the interest of time, since it's going to, we got to go straight to news.
Okay.
Oh, that's fine. Do you want it? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody knows the Civil War was 1861 to 1865, but can you tell me what years the Mongolian conquest took place?
It's a restaurant, isn't it? Mongolian Conquest?
Yes, it's on Ashland.
I thought so. We'll come back with that answer in the news next on 720 WGN.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man. So big and so strong.
All right, John, we don't have a winner yet, which is hard to believe because I thought your question was a pushover. What is it again?
Okay, everyone knows the Civil War was between 1861 and 1865,
yep.
But can you tell me what years the Mongolian conquest took place?
It should be an easy answer. 312-981-7200 for tickets tonight to Zanies. So get on the phone and call us. The great Michael Rooker's here. If you could only get work. I'm looking at your IMDb page. When was the last time you didn't work? You've always worked. Yeah. Since the moment you showed up.
There's been like about a 3-4 month period over the last 25 years.
That's a pretty good problem to have as an actor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, not all the gigs paid. Yeah, I mean, you know.
See, the first half were volunteer. Yeah, for sure. Justin, say hi to Michael.
Hi, Michael. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, hey, there you are. Hi, Justin.
You're here for Wizard World this weekend. To be on this circuit, to be able to talk to fans and to other people at Comic-Cons and conventions, what does that mean to you as an actor, being a part of shows like The Walking Dead or Guardians of the Galaxy? I mean, you really get this up-close and personal attention with your fans.
Well, yeah, it's not like the Hollywood of yesteryear, you know, where all the actors are sequestered. You know,
right.
Behind closed doors, you know.
Behind fences.
We totally get, right up close and personal, so it's fun.
Do you like it? Do you like doing it?
Well, I like doing it. I'm always good with people, you know. I can pretty much always have the gift of getting to talk with
anybody.
Right,
a nice boy from Alabama, you can talk to anybody. However, having said that, Wizard World. You got some whack jobs at Wizard World.
Well, of course, the entire staff.
So they're coming up to you. They're dressed like zombies.
This is my last Wizard World, by the way.
No. But some of them. My point is, some of the people I'm not sure realize it's TV. Some of the people think it may be actually happening.
Oh, you mean the fans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Maybe.
I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying it's a different deal.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you come across people who are a little overzealous with it some at times.
Michael, has it changed?
Security!
Has it changed for you? Because I think of even your days with Henry to where you're at now, to think about the way that the culture has interacted with Hollywood, or at least with nerd culture. Has it changed for you as someone who's been a part of very cult-like films for years?
Well, it took about 3 or 4 or 5 years before Henry actually became known and cult-like. It was cult-like before that, sort of a sub...
Right, Henry Portrait.
Subcategory human.
Right.
Humans really
right.
like that movie. But it became pretty cool. You know, people thought it was very cool, and I had already gone on and done Eight Men Out and Mississippi Burning and Sea of Love and stuff like that.
Right,
and that's about when Henry started, making a little splash.
And serial killers are hip. Serial killers all over TV now. Henry Winkler is in a serial killer show.
Yeah, that's why I don't do them anymore.
Right, because you did it, man.
I did.
You were there.
It's already done. Move on.
Let me go backwards.
Now, the other guys are catching up.
What do you remember about doing Tombstone?
I got to wear a gun.
That was it?
Dude, I got to wear a gun every day, all day long. I got to practice. I got to go out, shoot the gun.
Right.
Shoot the old style Western, the single actions.
Right.
Just a blast. They're just ergonomically so correct. They just fit perfectly into your hand. And they, some of these guys got really good at twirling and twisting and making a big show of it. I got actually good at shooting it.
I remember, I've been on a few movie sets and TV sets where you've had gun scenes.
Yeah.
But it's one gun. And the amount of safety and security that goes into these, and I'm going back to the early 90s where this stuff is a big deal. So I don't know. How do you shoot a Western where you've got gunfights? How do they handle that?
Well, it's you're not really having a real gunfight.
No, I understand
it's
that
okay,
a real.
Mr. Fan.
It's not real.
But Wizard World is.
Well, you know, it was just a wonder. I'll tell you a quick story. Yeah. Movie's over.
Yeah, yeah.
On my way home. Get out of my car, going to the gas station, get some gas. I went to adjust my pistol, and it wasn't there. I felt absolutely naked.
Wow. So you had a gun out every day, and it was gone.
I just felt like, wait, I this is not right.
I get it.
Okay.
I totally
you have been
it.
A tremendous character actor, and you look at all the films Steve just mentioned, and even the and I think about Wizard World. Back to Wizard World, you are one of the stars of the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, a franchise that has put Marvel back on the map in the way that now that it seems like there's no other kind of superhero movie. You were also on Walking Dead, which is also considered one of the cult go to, if not obsessive. Television
is that caught
programs.
On that Walking
yeah, right.
Dead thing?
It's amazing to think that you
well,
are.
There are some people who stopped watching it after I passed.
Right, but. but you have been involved in shows that
just
have had
a few million. It's a
tremendous
it.
Viral success. Does yeah. that change the way you approach your work? Meaning now the work that you're looking for, work that, hey, I got to get on something that I know is going to be huge.
Not at all. No. I still have to pay the mortgage. So if it's cool, if it's a good cool piece, I'll do it.
How do you pick stuff? Much. It's just instinct?
You know what? I've only been in the luxury position to actually pick mm-hmm. from a few projects only once or twice my entire career.
You still going out on auditions?
Most of them are like, oh, geez, when am I going to get another job here? You know, so that's the way it usually
Yeah, but
works.
You also fall into that category, I think, where people are going, we need a Michael Rooker type. And then somebody has to go, why don't we call Michael Rooker?
Why don't we call Michael Rooker? Get
right,
the real
right.
thing, baby.
Right.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah, no.
They usually can't afford me, that's why.
What about stuff you turn down? Do you turn down stuff based on the script, or how do you turn stuff down?
Based on a lot of factors, based on timing. There's just not enough time in the day to do it.
Sure.
I'm already doing something. There's
right.
some. I already have a prior commitment or something like that. That's usually what happens. Or I don't usually turn things down. I really like working. And,
apparently,
yeah,
based on what I'm looking at here.
I do like working, and I work. I like doing smaller roles, larger roles, big movies, small movies. As long as I get paid,
yeah.
I'm good to go.
Well, central
work.
Theme here.
It's,
right?
it's work. It's work.
Do you limit yourself in a calendar year to like four projects or five, or does it depend on the size, how
it
many you can squeeze in?
It depends on the timing and the time. Like movies like Guardians of the Galaxy are like 5-6 months long, so you can only do one movie,
right?
Maybe two a year or something like that. But if you're doing smaller movies that are like maybe only like an independent movie for maybe two and a half months, 3 months,
and maybe you can fit an extra one in.
Yeah, you can do more.
Now, John, I don't know if you know this, Guardians of the Galaxy was actually shot in outer space. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes,
I thought it was like
yes.
Green screen or something like that.
No.
Oh, no, there's not green
that
screen.
That is awesome.
No, yeah, no green
So
screen.
It's real.
Maybe that's all real stuff.
That's real.
What did that cost to get you?
Yeah, and by the way, that's the low end.
Yeah. Speaking of Guardians, you were suspended on a wire. I saw some of the outtakes of that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was pretty high.
That was the hardest work I'd ever done. That hurt. Dude, it hurt. It just hurt. I'm 190 pounds. Chris Pratt's even more, all right? And all muscle, by the way. But it just digs into your thighs and your hips.
And once they got you up there, do they leave you there? Until they
want to leave you there.
Because they have to reset lighting and all that other stuff?
All the lighting stays the same, but they want to leave you there. See, as a matter of fact, our first AD, you got one more in you, guys? And I'm like, no, down now.
Right.
You know, your legs are becoming numb. Yeah. It just cuts off circulation. Man. It's not a fun
Yeah, how are you supposed thing. To act when you're dying? And the scene doesn't call for that.
It's really difficult to concentrate sometimes when you're
guessing.
In pain.
I'm totally guessing.
I do not envy people who are in these shows where they're flying and they look surreal. For goodness sakes, we can make it look so real. But I look at that and I'm kind of ruined now because I look at that and I go, "Oh my God, that poor."
Yeah.
No matter how good the scene is and how realistic it looks, I'm pitying them. You know, it just for me it hurt. It hurt. It was terrible.
So where are we going to see you this weekend?
We got you at a table.
The Rosemont Convention Center.
Is there a stage you
stay
on?
I never stay at my table.
You wander around.
I wander around. I get out. They call security. Find Rooker. Have you ever been to one of my Q&As? I don't even call them Q&As. They're not really Q&As. They're events.
Yeah.
Yeah, I call it a Rooker event.
This Q&A is going to be interesting. Of course, the Guardians of the Galaxy going in a different direction with a different director after some of James Gunn's former tweets.
We may have some of those questions.
Yeah. So they're going to ask those questions. Are you prepared for that? Because you've seen other of your cast members from Guardians be on the spot, whether it be on Twitter or other places.
Right.
Do you have to prepare yourself for questions that may be above your pay grade?
You know what? My pay grade, there's nothing above my pay grade. You know, actually I should say everything's above my pay grade.
Right, I get it both ways.
You know, I really don't. I, you know what, I'm dead.
So you're out. Really, so you don't have any. Yeah, right.
It doesn't no matter. Downside.
Who's going to direct it? I have no currency in that thing anymore, and
it's not like soap operas where you're an evil twin and you come back to life.
Yeah, everybody wants Yondu to come back to life.
Everybody,
and it's a great role, and I would, of course, come back in a blink of an eye for the right price, and but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
But do you when you see this happening to a director and a lot of cast members have stepped up? Do you have do you feel for the situation?
Of course,
do you want to get involved?
We made a statement. All of the actors of Guardians of the Galaxy, everyone, we got together and we talked about it, and we wrote a public statement and put it out there. And those, I think, when people ask me questions, I say read the statement. Yeah. That's what we believe.
Were you actually together, or was it a video conference call or an email chain? Or
we did a little phone call chaining thing, texting each other.
It's Michael Rooker. You got to go talk to some other people.
Really,
it won't be as much
fun anymore.
Right. That's why
we don't get together anymore. People don't get together. Actors don't even get together anymore. We do a multi-texting.
Yeah, text chain. Yeah,
text chain.
Group text. We do those.
You guys are trying to get you out of the studio, but real quick, how are the kids doing? Your daughter is an actress.
No, they like the business and stuff, but none of them really got it.
They're not really chasing it.
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, good. Well, that means you're a good parent. Get him out of show business.
Exactly, right?
All right, but nice to see you.
Absolute
at Wizard World
here,
this weekend.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Rooker, it's an experience. It's not a Q&A.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, John, your question again for Zany's tickets was what?
Oh, sure. Here we go. Everyone knows the Civil War was between 1861 and 1865. Can you tell me what years the Mongolian conquest took place?
Tom, you seem like a guy that knows his Mongolian conquest. What's the answer?
It's from December 21st, 1237 to April 11th, 1241.
Give or take. April 12th.
Oh, so close.
Wow. No, you win, Tom. Of course you win.
You got to give it to him. That was great.
Wouldn't it be great if the day was off and I hammered him? No, Tom, I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight. Congratulations. Zany's tickets tonight, and the number again for tickets if you want to go.
Yeah, you can call the box office directly at 630-524-0001.
Let's all cross our legs. Om.
The band Om coming up.
Great Chicago's Om.
Oh, they're a great band. And
they're going to play live.
They're going to play live. They're playing at Thalia Hall tomorrow night.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's nice. It's cool.
One of the cool things we have about this new building, this new studio setup, is the ability to have folks come in here and perform live.
Yeah.
And who's down in our performance
studio? Okay, this is great. What a great band to have in our studios. The band Ohm, which has they have roots in pretty much all of Chicago's music scene, whether it be performing with Chance the Rapper on some of his recent records, went to high school with Vic Mensa, have sang along with Whitney and Twin Peaks and Marrow and other great indie rock bands in Chicago, and they're also a product of the experimental and underground music scene here in Chicago.
Where are they playing this week?
They're playing this weekend at Thalia Hall in Pilsen.
Great.
And they just put out a brand new record and album that came out today. It's on iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff, called Parts. Here today, Macy Stewart, Seema Cunningham with Matt Carroll on the drums, and they're ready to perform. Here is the track Icon. Take it away, guys.
She laid out the conversation, skimming from the top. That Tammy Liam Budloom from Leicester still refuses to pop. They asked her what the plan was.
How about the coveted sitting ovation?
There you go. The band Ohm from Chicago.
Tell me where they're playing again.
They're at Thalia Hall tomorrow night in Pilsen. And their new album, Parts, just came out today, released on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you can get
to. God, they sound great.
They sound great. A tremendous, tremendous Chicago band that played in so many different bands.
They
got
to come in
acts.
Here. Let's get them in here
Macy
to talk.
Macy Stewart, Seema Cunningham, and Matt Carroll, all parts of the band Ohm, which are here on the Steve Cochran Show.
OhmMusic.com. That's O-H-M-M-E Music.com. And they'll join us next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Seema Cunningham, Macy Stewart are here. Ohm, tomorrow night at Thalia Hall in Pilsen. Matt Carroll plays the drums. Matt refused to do the show, so we appreciate the fact that
contractually
you guys would actually come over and get on mic. Yes, sounded great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Yeah.
Tough to play at this hour?
A little bit, you know?
Like, it's 9:39 in the morning. We're about to play a rock song.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
We're just going to do our best.
You guys have known each other since what grade?
Well, we went to the same high school. I'm a couple years older than Macy, so, you know, I was a cool senior when she was a freshman, that kind of thing.
So what allowed you to, what sort of giving person are you that you said, I'll take this sophomore under my wing?
No, it was really great. She's played in bands with my brother for years, and, okay. And then a couple years ago, we'd been singing together a lot, and we just kind of were serendipitously, like, at the same moment, wanting to explore kind of weirder sounds on the guitar and do a lot more experimental stuff. We already knew we could sing well together.
And you had the same interests?
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, musically? Like,
yeah,
you like the same stuff?
we were really into the improvised music scene here in Chicago, and that was kind of something that brought us together, because we wanted to join in on that, but we didn't exactly know how to start doing that. So we were like, let's just play guitar in the basement.
Let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
How do you make that transition? Because as singers, both of you singing in different rock bands and indie rock bands in mm-hmm. Chicago and other projects
and
as
playing,
well. And
yeah.
playing. Mm-hmm. How do you make that transition into an improvised style of music?
Well, that's something that we've been doing since we were really, really young. Our parents taught us a lot about the merits of improvising, and you know, we're trained classical musicians. We have a lot of friends that are in the jazz scene, so improvising was not something that was new to us, but it was improvising in this style was something that was new.
Because you only get improv, like you said, I mean, the jazz community, it's based mm-hmm. on improvisation. I think blues does as well. Mm-hmm. Rock music, not as much. I mean, you'll get more of a band that comes together and they set the song and this is what we're going to do. Maybe mm-hmm. you'll get some improvisation.
There's less
solos.
Scatting. There's less scatting in rock music.
So, I mean, it is unique to have an interest in improv being behind the guitar, behind the rock guitar.
Yeah, and we really like to play with textural sounds and things that aren't necessarily melodic based. So that was something that we really wanted to do and explore with this band, is kind of try out these things that don't maybe sound like a guitar. You know, play the guitar like a drum, or play the guitar like something else, you know, making weird sounds out of something that's familiar.
It's tougher than ever from the perspective of the old record business to the new record business to get found. Mm-hmm. You know, you throw a needle in a haystack on YouTube, or you count on word of mouth, or somebody who's established takes interest in you. What's the route for you guys?
I think that for us, like, we're just trying to make music that we really enjoy, and I think that we've put a lot of work into making our live show really exciting and something that's
been a lot of buzz.
Yeah, a lot of buzz, and I'm really happy that the buzz has been like, oh, I listened to the record and it was really cool, and then I saw you live and I fell in love with you guys.
That's
and
great.
Like, that's a happy transition for us. I don't know if we'll ever like have anything that goes viral, but I'm not sad about that. I mean, who knows? Maybe something will and it'll be unexpected.
The album's out today. What can we expect from parts that is different than some of the stuff that you've done in the past?
It's more of a live record. It's kind of more like, you know, aggressive in a way, I guess, or just, you know, this is what it is. We played it with the three of us, me, Macy, and Matt, and me, Macy, my mom will kill me
close.
If I was supposed
close.
To say
your English teacher
I was
wasn't
supposed
listening
to say, and I
right
but you know, we did a lot of it live in the studio and then kind of built it from there.
Will you do another one for us?
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. What's the next
absolutely.
Song?
We're going to play Peach.
We're going to take a break. Cindy down there. You get all set up again. And the elusive, mysterious Matt Carroll will also join me.
Matt!
The man without a microphone.
Oh, wow. He looks great over there.
It's ohmmusic.com, OHMME. Thank you guys for being here.
Hey, thank you so much.
See another one here in just a second on 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy coming up, but first we go back to the performance studio, Justin.
Ohm, the band Ohm, playing at Thalia Hall tomorrow night, right there in Pilsen. The band Ohm is Macy Stewart, Seema Cunningham, and Matt Carroll on the drums. Their album Parts just came out today. Find it. And Ohm is here in our performance studio. Got one more song before Bill and Wendy. Here they are, live in that studio with the song Peach. Take it away.
Tangerine, I want it fruit. Something sweet, cotton candy, give it
day or two. It's only food. Hunger slowly seeps into my dream. Feel it taking over me, it seems. Call me away, shake me with laughter. Sing me a quiet tune, I'm in the mood. Spending a day stuck in the rafters, high above all the trees, they're bearing seeps into my dreams. Hold my head, it's fading underneath. Hunger slowly seeps into my
about that. How about that? How about another
right.
sitting ovation?
Oh.
The coveted sitting ovation for Ohm. Do we need another break? Or are we good?
No,
we're good. Okay.
We're good.
Tell me again
the
where.
The band Ohm will be at Thalia Hall this weekend, tomorrow night in Pilsen. Tremendous band. A band that just put out their new album, Parts, today. Like I said, playing Thalia Hall. Find out all the information, but tremendous musicians.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Macy
people.
Stewart, Seema Cunningham, and Matt Carroll all have played in several different bands
Matt
in Chicago,
the
and they brought this together. But Matt, the
conundrum.
But it's great to have them here
the
in our
mystery
performance
of Matt Carroll.
There you go.
So yeah, support Ohm. A bit of breaking news just ahead of Steve. Alan Weisselberg, the longtime Trump org CFO, the guy that knows where the money is.
Right.
You knucklehead. That's the news.
He is going to be detailed in the news in just a second as to what he did.
See how Steve did that? He gave it
very
to you.
Well played.
There you go.
Wow, how about that?
There you go. Yeah.
Look at his little temper tantrum, his little news tantrum he threw there.
I wrote it just right.
Yeah. Wendy, who's your new sidekick here? And about time you got rid of Bill.
Bill is at a tennis tournament today. He might be an Illinois state champion. So Jimmy Mack is filling in for him today.
Hey.
What's up, man? Nice to see you.
It's great to be here.
Good
it's to good see to see you guys.
Nice to see you.
Steve, the last time
we were at the Loop.
Well, that was the last time we worked together.
Right. But I saw you. Where did I see you?
We saw each other recently.
Oh, at the auto show.
It was at the auto show. That's right.
Right. Let's do that again in February.
Why not? I was just passing by. I said, oh, my God, that guy looks like Steve Cochran.
He looks just like Steve Cochran. You know what he did? He did this. He had his head down. He's going, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Then I said, hey, Jimmy. He looks up. He goes, Steve!
Oh!
How are you?
He does that to me at home all the time.
What are you guys going to talk about?
We have a lot going on today. We're going to talk about the asteroid that is coming very close to the Earth. So
how long before we're all dead?
We'll find out. We've got someone from the Adler coming in, and we've got Todd Rundgren tickets to give away. Yeah. You can't have them, Jim. We're going to talk television, and we're going to talk about parenting, because Jim is my husband. We parent two boys.
Wow.
Yes. I parent better.
Are the boys in school?
One has Fridays off. College, you know, you pick your own schedule.
Oh,
Jim really had to think about that.
But are you guys going to hash this out like therapy on the air?
Yeah.
We might, but there's a story in the news about leaving your kids home alone and what the proper age is for that, and we are guilty. I'm sorry. Maybe they'll come and arrest us.
How about that? Look at you.
I'll be listening, yeah.
My mom said I could walk the dog around the block without telling her, so I'm going to go do that right now.
Good. You're done?
See you Monday.
Have a good weekend.
Zanny's St. Charles tonight, 8 o'clock.